Thanks for being here. We are talking organ donation, the transplant. We have some recipients on the line that we'll talk about here or talk with. Marie Stark and Brian Weiss. They're from Helena. And man, this will be fun. This is kind of the fun part. But we got the educational part first going on here. Sarah Sadowski is in studio. Jim Larson is in studio. Sarah, hello.
Hey, good morning. And good morning, Montana.
Director of the Montana Governor's Office of Community Service.
That's the one.
How long have you thought about shortening that title?
You know, sometimes refer to it as Serve Montana.
There, good.
As well.
Oh, thank you.
If that's easier, we can certainly go with that.
He's the director of Serve Montana. Jim Larson is a commissioner on, I got to get the name here too, Jim, of this Montana Commission on Community Service. I volunteered for 16 years, sir.
Yes, correct.
Thank you
for
that.
I've been on the commission, appointed by both governors. It's great.
Congratulations on
that. Thank you. Happy to be here.
Thank you for that. Why do you volunteer for this for so many years?
I think serving our communities is such an important thing. And I think volunteering, even no matter what it is so important to make our community a better place. It's easy to complain about stuff, but I think it's time for all of us to get out and kind of put our money and our hours whatever we can do to make the community a better spot.
This is our currency. If you want to help your community, get out and do something. You don't have to overthink it, right, Sarah? Just kind of walk it out. But let's talk about how people come to your office and what your office organizes. And then we'll talk about this Threshold of Life Memorial, because it's pretty exciting, too, that
it is.
You're moving toward that.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks, Commissioner Larson.
I know, right?
It's a treat. It's a real treat to serve with about 15 members of the Commission on Community Service. What we've got here at the Governor's Office of Community Service, there's three main initiatives. Many folks across our great state have served in AmeriCorps. Our first initiative is national service. We serve as the entity that receives AmeriCorps funding and partners with eligible organizations, higher ed, state government agencies, and nonprofits. We're mobilizing about 170 AmeriCorps members. And then our Great Conservation Corps has over 500. So this year alone, we'll have pushing 700 AmeriCorps members serving to meet community needs. And the second part of that mission is to develop them while they're in service. So if you're an AmeriCorps alum, I would say thank you for your service. If you're an AmeriCorps member, I'd say, hey, continue on, right? So the goal and the journey is just like Jim said, that you see something you care about and you think, I have gifts, skills, and talents. How do I contribute these and learn and grow in the process? So AmeriCorps is a very special thing in our state and in our great country. There's over 200,000 individuals serving. We also have AmeriCorps seniors throughout our state, over 2,000 folks over age 55 serving across our state as well.
That's what I find interesting as well, because we think of AmeriCorps or the Conservation Corps as programs for young people. But that has changed over the past several years.
That's true.
Yeah. Talk about that.
Yeah, AmeriCorps seniors is what I call a humble army. There's about 2,330 last time we checked. They serve under...
In Montana?
Yes, sir.
Wow, super.
It's pretty awesome. They serve continuously, whereas our AmeriCorps members serve about a year at a time.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, three programs. One's foster grandparents. So there's AmeriCorps seniors serving in our public schools, young adults helping them academically and potentially behaviorally and providing support. Senior companions, seniors serving seniors with the goal of independent living. We all know that the more we live on our own, the longer we live. It really is a magical thing, too, because this compatibility of service, having a reason and a purpose to get up in the morning as an elder or at any age, like Jim mentioned, gives us purpose. And it turns out research says folks who serve live longer as well. It's very cool. The third one is Retired Senior Volunteer Program, RSVP, we call it, because all these baby boomers don't want to be called retired seniors anymore. They want to be called servants, and they want to go and contribute and do stuff. They're like, I'm done working, and now I'm going to go do other stuff. So RSVP, Foster Grandparents Program, and Senior Companions are the three elements of seniors and AmeriCorps seniors. They're a wonderful network of folks. So if you are looking for a project, or you may have bumped into them doing great local events like community.
What are these events? Talk about what it is that they're directed to in the community.
Yeah, so you can look up AmeriCorps seniors and visit our serve.mt.gov. You'll see AmeriCorps. There's a whole list. They serve multi-counties through human resource district councils, area agencies on aging. There's a great network of folks who have these set schedules. They'll go out and do, like I said, serve in a school or set routines. Many of them deliver meals on wheels, and that's what we call more than a meal. folks are saying, hey, how are you today? Here's your lunch, but how are you? Right. And
they're such a great program.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. So as well as community events like our local fairgrounds and events that happen with 4-H and other things that we kind of don't always have our best branding on. I'm always railing on folks, put on your logo. But yeah, yeah. Check out AmeriCorps. And if you're over 55, AmeriCorps seniors. So another beautiful thing about AmeriCorps is that folks serve and then receive an education award. And that's a voucher towards student loans or higher ed. And many of our institutions here in Montana will match the education award. And if you're over 55 in AmeriCorps, not seniors, they don't get out awards. But in AmeriCorps, you can transfer that to other folks in your family.
And this is where Jim Larson comes in as a commissioner of the Montana Commission on Community Service. What is there, maybe a dozen or 16 or thereabouts?
I think there's 15.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
15 from all different walks of life and different sectors. So everyone in Montana is represented on that commission. And then what we do is, as the commission, obviously there are grants and funding that comes in. And there's also groups that will want that grant money. And we go through as a commission and vet those different groups, make sure the money is going where it should be going, and make sure that once we give that money, that those organizations are doing what they say they're going to do.
Yeah.
And it just continues on like that. It's a wonderful opportunity for everyone in Montana, and it helps a lot of these groups stay afloat and keep going.
Talk about that process. Talk about if somebody out there thinking about, wow, serve Montana, serve.mt.gov. Maybe they can, I've been thinking about this project. What are you looking for? What passes the mustard there on the commission?
A lot of it depends of making sure that the money is going to go back to the community and that the goals that you state you are going to do, whether it is working with building trails, make sure that that's where the money is going. Obviously, the members of that organization are either volunteer or staff. And to make sure that they have that funding, and then we go through and we make sure we have our own internal audits to make sure the money is going exactly where it's supposed to go and where it gets the most bang for the buck out there for our communities.
I think that's one thing that people appreciate about having an office of community service is that kind of coordination, because when you have a lot of volunteers, and so you're working with different schedules and you're working with different ideas, and I presume that it gets like herding cats at times. So you've got a central place to stay organized in all of that. Yeah.
High level of organization for both our national service, because we are managing and stewarding federal resources, and each one of those federal resources is matched, right? So folks will say, oh, federal resources, what is all of this about? The beautiful thing is that through service, we have match, we call it, so non-federal. So every dollar that's invested in service has a $17 return on investment for an AmeriCorps dollar. So it's a very wonderful thing, and it moves the capacity in the right direction. And what we also look for, to add to Jim's remarks, is that needs resource alignment. Will these funds meet the need that we've identified?
Jim, when does your humanity level continually get filled? After 16 years, was there a time when you thought, well, okay, I've kind of done my service? Or what keeps you doing it year after year after year?
The reason I like to do it, and I want to continue to do it as long as I absolutely can, is just the reward of seeing community get better. Going out and seeing a kid who may be struggling at school and seeing a grandparent or a volunteer come in and help him learn how to read, to see the joy on people's lives of when someone affects them in a positive way. It's because a lot of times you have people that are down and out and depressed, but just see someone with Meals on Wheels go in and give them their lunch, but then also sit down and have a conversation with them. Mm-hmm. Just someone to talk to. It really brightens their day, and it's amazing.
Yeah, and it does. It fills up where we're leaking at times, you know. Sarah, let's move over to, because Maria Stark is standing by, a cornea recipient. And Brian Weiss is standing by, a liver recipient. And there is, thanks to the legislature, there was no money in it, but they've got a place on the Capitol grounds for a Threshold of Life Memorial. And let's get into our organ donation, because that's another big part. If you want to volunteer something, probably a pretty good way to do it.
Hey, we're always recruiting for AmeriCorps. And then on the community volunteer side, the non-AmeriCorps, we did just announce our Sir Montana awards have been closed, and we're reviewing those. And we just announced our Youth Serve Montana scholarships.
Oh, nice.
Over $135,000 going to about 90 high school seniors, and that's with Reach Higher Montana and the Montana Campus Network for Civic Engagement. We're very pleased to offer those scholarships every year to Montana seniors who completed 100 hours of volunteer service in the last 12 months. So what we want is to encourage young adults. There's also more research that shows the more you serve, the younger in age, the more you'll serve throughout your life. It turns out a functioning community, state, and overall country is essential to have engaged citizens serving their neighbors, just as Jim's described. That one-on-one team setting is awesome. So we've got AmeriCorps service, community volunteerism, and then we have organ, eye, and tissue donation. We call that Donate Life Montana. Governor's Office of Community Service has been a state lead on the education and outreach, the awareness side of that effort for our state. So we partner with the Department of Motor Vehicles, which is where the place most commonly folks register. Getting a state ID or renewing your license. If you look at your license and you've got a little red heart on it, that means you've successfully been registered.
86%. I find
yes.
that. Maybe I'm not so surprised by that.
Montana's the best. That's why, Tom.
Yeah.
I mean it. Montana really is.
86% of people sign up to be organ donors.
Are registered organ
of
donors. Yeah. That's right. And that's 56%. It's the national average. So we like to be those undercover, but still in the number one spot.
Yeah, that's really cool. Let's talk a little bit. I got to take a break here, but let's set this up because we're going to hear from Maria and Brian in a little bit. And they are organ recipients. And I think that's compelling to,
amazing.
As we kind of said earlier, anxiety to hope when it comes to life.
Yeah, it's an amazing opportunity. So we've got folks who are registered to be donors, but not everyone's a fit. And there's almost 200 individuals any day in our great state waiting for a life-saving transplant. One registered organ donor can give 8 gifts of organ donation, and those are absolute life-saving gifts. And then through eye and tissue donation, we can serve up to 75 others per individual. And those are corneas, as we'll hear from Marie. Also, tissues such as bone grafts for dental. We're serving many of our great veterans through hip replacements, tendons, ligaments, all these different parts of bone marrow, right? So it's really compelling. And what happens is a lot of folks have shared stories with me in this journey. And some say, hey, you can share this. And others just say, I just wanted to tell you. And so I carry these gems in my pocket as really treasures of Montana that folks have said, yes, I'll register. It's a bittersweet journey. If we lose a loved one, but yet in their passing, they've saved 8 people and helped heal 75 others. It's truly bittersweet. And it also is part of the healing journey on both sides.
On both sides. And I think that's what's interesting about this is that, you're waiting, like you said, 200 waiting daily for
in Montana.
It. Yeah. And so there's just probably a lot of thoughts going through your mind and your family's mind. And then you get the call. And then you've got a process. I have got a new lease on life. Thanks to who? Who do I thank?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And sometimes folks connect. That's up to the families of the recipients and the donors. We've got stories of folks that, nope, I just good enough for me to know that my loved one helped someone, and other folks have connected and maintained longer term relationships. But what we've got is a couple trees on the Capitol grounds in Helena, one on the first floor, the Tree of Life. The second one is at the DMV, encouraging folks to register. It's a metal sculpted tree by Jim Dolan. If you're ever rolling
Jim
down
Dolan.
To Three Forks, the blue horses, right?
Home.
That's right. And those trees are full though. So there's no more room for leaves of our precious lost loved ones in the year of their passing. So this created the opportunity and need to generate a sustainable and permanent way to honor and serve as a symbol of hope for those who are awaiting, encouraging them to register all the way through the folks who have received gifts of life and organ, eye, and tissue donation through that, as well as folks who may have lost loved ones. And so we've got legislative approval for a design and location for a memorial for all Montana's organ, eye, and tissue donors on the state capitol grounds. And that's really what Marie and Brian are going to share their experience as it pertains to that.
April is donation or donate life month. That's something you might know about here. I've got some statistics. I find them interesting. As Sarah Sadowski, who's in studio with Serve Montana, shared 200 waiting daily in Montana. Around the country, that is 103,000 Americans for an organ transplant. Every 8 minutes, another person is added to that transplant waiting list. And about 13 people a day will lose their lives waiting for a transplant. So we're focusing on this aspect of it here today. In studio again is Sarah Sadowski with Serve Montana, Jim Larson too, the Montana Commission on Community Service. And we're going to introduce now some organ recipients and talk about how it changed their lives. I can't put words in their mouth, but I just got to think that there's a lot of emotion that goes through something like this. Let's welcome Marie Stark. Marie is a cornea recipient who now lives in Helena, Montana. Good morning, Marie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thank you for coming on. How's the eyesight?
Well, it's a miracle that I can see like I do.
Isn't it?
I have to say I'm just grateful for people who give their corneas. Because, so my story, I can kind of tell you, at 29, my brother had to have a transplant. Never heard of keratoconus before. And all of a sudden, it was part of our family. And about 6 years later, I started down the road with both eyes with the disease. And by the time I was in my 40s, I was having trouble seeing a lot. At night, I couldn't drive. And the man I married to is legally blind, so we were looking at nobody with sight in our household. So I went down the transplant road, and I ended up in Seattle, and I had one cornea done in 2004 and another one in 2005. And my doctor here in Helena said that the man that did him, it was just amazing. He'd never seen work like that. And I can see without correction very well. I could drive without my glasses except for a little bit of astigmatism. So I choose to wear them. And every day I'm so grateful for somebody that gave those eyes. People, they were younger people. I know that much. And otherwise I'd be blind by this point. So.
Wow. I'm grateful for you too. I'm happy for you that that someone did sign up and you were the recipient there. Let's welcome Brian Weiss as well, also from Helena. Brian, your story is a little bit different, isn't it, in terms of a liver transplant?
Yes. Yeah, I got a life-saving liver transplant on September 28th, 2015. And went out to Seattle. I was in liver failure. Went out to Seattle, got to the hospital, and the last thing I remember is walking in the front doors of the hospital, and I collapsed in the waiting room of the liver clinic, and I was basically considered like medically dead. My sodium level fell to 102, and the ER doctor told my wife that he'd never seen anyone still alive with a sodium level 102 before. And I was in a coma for 2 weeks. I had woke up, and the day I woke up was the day they told my family to say goodbye to me. And then a couple days go by, and they had a bad bus accident out in Seattle on the Aurora Bridge with the duck boats, if you're familiar with them at all.
Mm-hmm.
One of them slammed in the side of a charter bus that had foreign exchange students in it going to North Seattle College. And it killed 4 students at the scene, and 1 student was put on life support, and that's whose liver that I ended up getting. And her name, she was a 20-year-old girl from South Korea. Her name was Haram Kim. And so the accident was the 24th, and I had my transplant on the 28th. And so far, everything's been going pretty well.
This was the brink of death, wasn't it?
It's been 10 and a half years.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations. I mean, that the brink of death for you, right, Brian?
Yes.
Yeah, and pulled back. But, go ahead.
Every day is a bonus day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
I was going to say every day is a bonus day now. And I had the transplant at the University of Washington. I don't know if I mentioned that, but they're outstanding out there, the doctors and the whole thing, and they're known for their transplants.
Wow. I've got more questions too. And thanks for sharing that. And there's a lot in there, a lot of emotions. I think that go through a person's mind. We got 3 minutes here in this segment, but we'll talk more on the other side too. I'm going back to Marie Stark again, a cornea recipient. Marie, you saw your eyesight deteriorating over a period of time, right? And so, you know, what was the process for you to begin cornea transplanting, and how long did that take overall?
So over the years, you know, my eye doctor would just talk about what the problem was and how it was increasing, and that he discussed the fact that we would have to probably go the route of a transplant at some point. And for me, that was a little scary, thinking somebody's going to take a piece off your eye and put another piece on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when my eyes hurt every day, so... But with corneas, it's a little different. So I met the surgeon, and the next day I had a transplant in Seattle because they store the corneas at an eye bank, and they last for 7 days, and they don't waste any of them. It's an amazing facility. They don't have to match blood because there's no blood in a cornea. So anybody's cornea can go on anybody's eye. So it's not like you have to wait on a list, like people receiving other organs.
That's good news. Yeah.
So once they said, yeah, the surgeon said, you really need to have this done. And I said, well, I'm on your schedule tomorrow. He said, great. So the next day I had a new cornea. And then it takes about a year for the cornea to, the swelling from the liquid it was stored in, and for your eye to adjust to it. And you have stitches in your cornea, which is a little odd to think about. And they just remove those little by little, so your eye adapts to your new cornea.
So it was a process then, you know, the whole healing side of it, year long.
Yes.
Yeah. Brian, I'm
a
sure.
A lot of eye drops.
Go ahead, Marie.
I said a lot of eye drops.
Yeah.
I have to do those
schedule
for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and as you noted, this goes back to like 2005, 2004 and 2005. Mm-hmm. And so you've been living with this for, you know, that many years. Tom Schultz alongside. April is Donate Life Month. There's a lot of information to share here. We're talking about Montana's great tradition of being organ donors. 86% are registered organ donors in the state, and that is well above the national average. There is a memorial that's going to be built. Funds are being raised right now for that to honor the organ donors, as well as talk about the transplant recipients as well. And that's what we're doing here today. Marie Stark is with us, a cornea recipient, and Brian Weiss, life saved with the liver transplant as well. And a couple of things to share. And then Sarah Sadowski in studio, Jim Larson as well. I'm going to have you comment on this, but you look it up and you go, well, what are the organs that I can donate after life? It's heart, it's lungs, liver, kidneys, pancreas, even the intestines, and they can even do combination like liver, kidney, and heart, lung kind of transplants. The deal, too, is that typically these organs are viable only for a limited time outside the body. The heart for 4 to 6 hours, lungs 4 to 6 hours, liver it's 8 to 12, kidneys 24 to 36 hours. So, boy, the timing is just key, Sarah, for something like this.
It is. It's really incredible what has to happen, a domino and chain of events that has to happen on both sides, from the family of the lost loved one as well as the family that's waiting. Our memorial is going to honor that, and we've got actually an intentional design. We've got a Bozeman-based architect. And there's a split in the roof on the Threshold of Life Memorial, and that honors.
I wondered what that was for.
Yeah. That one roof tilts away, and the one tilts forward, and that honors the light beam in the middle of the lives intersected through organ, eye, and tissue donation.
I get it. You can see a picture of that, the draft memorial, if you go to serve.mt.gov. Jim Larson, give us some comment here about what you're hearing about the work that you do, and then you hear from Marie, and you hear from Brian, and you go, you know, I'm in again.
It's nice to to be able to see something that can come, that could come positive out of a tragedy for one family of just losing a loved one, and then the joy that another family has to know that their loved one is now going to survive. It's just a very beautiful thing. If, you know, obviously when you, a lot of times with the organ donors, they're maybe someone who's younger in life, whose life was taken away from them too short, but the joy that the family that can get out of that, of knowing that, well, that heart is now going to be used for another 50 years. Their lungs can be used again. All the organs can. So others may live even though that your loved one is passed.
Marie Stark, how does that make you feel? Indebted, I presume, sort of, and Marie is a cornea recipient. What was your emotional state through, you know, these key points in this journey?
I didn't like the idea of losing my eyesight.
Right.
But then, you know, you're praying for a cornea transplant, and I needed both. And but when you're praying about that, you're thinking, oh, well, that means somebody else has to pass. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a bittersweet feeling. And I don't know the people that donated the corneas. I wrote letters and gave them to the eye bank, but the families had chosen not to receive those. So for me, it's just wanting people to know that we are grateful, those of us that have them and still have sight.
And you were losing your eyesight due to a hereditary disease. So you said your brother had done this at a younger age as well. You're kind of setting the stage a little bit, right? For health.
Yes.
For generations for your family.
Yes, it is hereditary. We don't know what part of our family it came from because we have some adoption in our family. But I know that two of my grandchildren now have been diagnosed with keratoconus. And now they do a new procedure called cross-linking that they hope strengthens the cornea to either extend the time where they might need a transplant or hopefully to alleviate the need. So, you know, I just keep talking to people and hoping you'd be willing to donate those corneas because it's such an important thing and it's been such an important thing for me in my life.
Wow, that's amazing. I love the miracles of medicine, modern medicine. Brian Weiss, again, a liver recipient. Brian, again, your story a little bit different, liver deteriorating over a period of time, nearing the end, a tragic bus accident claimed the lives of someone, a foreigner, and that person's liver ended up saving your life. I can't imagine the...
I've been in the U.S. for 7 days.
Wow.
I can't imagine all the emotions that you process through that. But share what you can with us, Brian.
Oh, just I'm eternally grateful to our family for agreeing to donate their daughter's organs because apparently Koreans are not real well known for donating their organs because their beliefs are if you take a person's organs, they die a second death. But it turned out that the girl's father in South Korea was a Christian minister over there. And so through his Christianity, he convinced his wife to agree to donate their daughter's organs.
Wow. And they had to do that in a short period of time.
Had that never happened, I would never receive the liver. And I was in, I was pretty iffy on living. My kidneys had completely shut. When my liver shut down, my kidneys shut down, and my other organs were under a lot of stress. So if I would have had to wait any period of time, I probably wouldn't be here talking to you.
It's amazing. What do you think about having a new lease on life, Brian?
Oh, it's amazing. I just call it bonus time. You know, if I was to die today, I've had 10 and a half years of bonus time. So,
and you had a chance to connect.
Like that year after I got back from my transplant in 2016, my daughter graduated high school. And I just was sitting there at the graduation looking around going, man, I'm one lucky person to be sitting here.
That gives us a lot of joy. I hope that gives you joy.
And I owe that to her family, and I owe that to Haram's family.
Haram, and you made a connection with their family, correct?
Yeah, the father had heard that I wanted that about my story and stuff because Fox 13 News out in Seattle did a news story about a guy from Montana getting a life-saving liver transplant from the duck boat accident. And the parents had flew into California to bring a lawsuit against the duck boat company. And the reporter must have gotten a hold of them and told them my story. And they said they'd like to speak to me if I'd talk to them. And I'm like, yeah, I'll talk to them. So I called them, and they had a translator with them. And we talked for at least a half hour to 40 minutes.
Wow.
And here the father is exactly my age. Mm.
And that was a number of years ago. Yeah. Are you still in contact with them, Brian?
That was in, yeah, that year after my transplant. No, I haven't heard from them since.
Mm. Well, maybe it's time, you know. Marie, talk about the post-transplant. This was like 04 and 05 for both of your cornea replacements. And you're still kind of taking medicine for them, right?
Yes. So for a year after transplant, you do a lot of antibiotics because, of course, you have the front of your eye has been opened up. So you have to do a lot of antibiotics. And then I had to do steroids. And then I also had to take some, my pressures in my corneas started increasing. So I had to take the glaucoma type meds. So I did that for about a year. And then now for the rest of my life, twice a week, I have to put steroid drops in my corneas, just so that my body doesn't decide that they don't belong there.
Yeah, right. There's still that chance of rejection, right?
Yes. Wow. Yes.
What about you, Brian?
Will be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I take anti-rejection drugs every 12 hours. And I have to take it the rest of my life. But the bad side about taking the anti-rejection drugs is it does cause you I have steroid-induced diabetes now, which has caused neuropathy in my feet pretty bad. But other than that, life is good. I've been doing everything I did before and probably more than I probably should do. But you got to enjoy life.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna let you guys go. And thank you so much for sharing that with us. Do you have any final thing, Marie, is there anything, or Brian, or anything else you wanted to offer?
No, I just encourage people to donate.
Yeah. There you go. Yes. In unison, donate. And that's the idea behind this, because there is so much more joy for you guys.
Definitely a gift of life.
Yes. It is. It is.
All right. Yes. Thank you, guys. We're going to come on back after a short break. Again, that's Marie Stark and Brian Weiss. I appreciate you guys. I'm very happy for you. May you be blessed continually with this gift. We'll continue our primary election coverage on Monday. Senate candidate Kurt Almay will be in studio. And line up for questions and calls at 866-627-5483. Text a message 781-627-5483. On the text line here today, could I get that web address again for AmeriCorps seniors? Thank you so much. Yes, you can. It is serve.mt.gov. It's actually a pretty good site, pretty clean site. I'm looking at it right now. And Sarah Sadowski in studio with us, Jim Larson as well. Jim's a commissioner with the Montana Commission on Community Service, and Sarah runs the Office of Community Service. Let's download some things, Sarah. I mean, your response to having Marie and Brian, and thank you for inviting them on. And then we got to get into the business here of getting people lined up to help.
Yeah. Thank you, Marie and Brian. Yeah. These are our brave souls who have taken the journey and had their lives saved through the passing of others. We're super grateful for that. And it underscores the role and importance of having that organ, eye, and tissue registry number high that we do have in Montana, and honoring this journey. And what I think about when I think about the why is that we're all very independent until we're faced with something. And I think both of them mentioned belief systems and prayer and hope. And that's what this is. This is a symbol of hope for those who are awaiting. And so as you face your own mortality and the mortality of those around us, this is the final act of service. And it's absolutely a beautiful thing. And so to hear how that unseen realm and the faith is that is interwoven into this initiative here is very, very real. And it outlives all of us, generations of Marie's family, and obviously generations of Brian, as well as the donor's family as
well. No way to measure it. No way to measure that.
No. Yeah. Yeah. It's deeply personal. And I often say this is the unseen cosmic realm. That really is where, this is where hope comes from. You can't grab hope and put it in your pocket. It has to come from something that's an invisible gift. And this is the intersection of visible and invisible. It's a very cool thing.
So tell us about this memorial. I know the legislature set up a place for it, but they said, if you know, you build it. And this is what you guys are out doing.
That's what we're doing. It's the Threshold of Life Memorial. Got a Montana architect out of Bozeman that serve.mt.gov has a pop-up on there. We've got a $500,000 fundraising goal. We've partnered with the local Helena Area Community Foundation as our fiscal sponsor for this project. These are non-state dollars to a charitable organization as a steward with us in partnership. And we are moving forward. So you'll see we've got just in the new year a license plate that's up. It's available. It's also, you can catch an image at the DMV page, the wall there, as well as on our website, serve.mt.gov. The butterfly is an archetypal image for transformation.
So you can buy this and then a portion of that will go to fund this donor program?
Yes, sir. It's a $20. The average is 10 to 30. We selected 20 and those proceeds will go to support this memorial as well as the education and outreach activities of our office. We honor the families of the lost loved ones and do promotion and encourage folks to register.
What's the timeline for this?
You know, we've got to get this thing done by the end of 2028. So we're on the move, which is why I was like, I'll be down in Billings. So it encompasses all of it. And we'll not have names on it as the tree is full, right? These trees of life are full of names. And as we look to a sustainable and permanent way to honor the whole journey from registering to receiving to losing to being a hope and a place of contemplation for folks to sit and visit, as well as just to bring this stuff to the light. These are deeply personal stories that folks have shared today and that others have shared with me across our state from living donors. You know, I've heard from one who says, hey, this is important and I'll tell you about it, but my brother doesn't want to, right? Yeah. So wherever we are on the sphere of our experiences and our willingness to share are these stories, the Threshold of Life is inclusive and will accompany all of that. And how beautiful to have it on the state capitol grounds, what I call the crown jewel of our state right there in Helena with the star on it. And we're going to be part of the best part of Montana and the Helena capital. And I say that with lots of love to all of you out there in rural communities.
I love that Montanans at 86% are registered donors, 56% on the national average. I mean, that shows you the common sense nature, I think, of Montana. Well, I ain't going to use those anymore. But the process can begin. Just go to serve.mt.gov. Support those who do give. Support the memorial. And if you haven't signed up yet, think about Marie and think about Brian and their families and those memories that you have helped create. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.